This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. It's rainy across parts of South Africa this morning. Sia likes waking up in the thunder.
Ooh, gets me so happy.
Pumi, you like waking up in the thunder?
I love it.
I feel the same as Sia. Yeah.
Undo your face. Why are you scrunching up at me like that? Are you judging me for that?
Absolutely.
Why?
Thunder, really?
Yes. It's lovely. It's nice. It's cozy. Makes you feel like...
not getting out of bed.
Exactly. But it's a nice feeling to wake up to. I mean, you don't have the option. None of us have the option of not getting out of bed. Unless right. You want to be a loser and lie in bed all day. But I like that feeling. And I like when it's raining a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't like when it comes down too hard and it's freezing and it's accompanied by wind and... But today is good. Jeez, I gotta tell you, I watched some of those videos of the flooding in KZN.
Man, oh man.
It's not good. It is not good. I saw this one, I think it was in Chatsworth, this one video of this pool that fills up with mud and stuff and then it explodes. Now, you know how much water's in a pool, right? And it empties itself out onto this road. But it's carrying tires with it and... pushing cars out of the way. I mean, it's just frightening when you think about the power of water. Huh?
Yeah.
It really is scary. You think about how people standing at the bottom of a hill, for example, if there's a mudslide or an avalanche of stuff that's been loosened by the rain,
right.
Just come down there and wipe them out. I mean, they won't even know what's happening. It'll come down so fast you won't even hear it. You don't have a chance to react. Mm. Apparently, the death toll's already over 40 people.
Yikes. There's a bit of a silver lining I'll get to during Said by Sia about how people are banding up to save some people.
Well, apparently, I mean, I saw a woman on the news last night saying that the municipality and disaster management have done nothing for them. Mm. This is, again, I think it's in Chatsworth. And she was saying that the community is all kind of banding together and people are helping each other with food and they're taking each other in their houses. And, you know, there are good people out there.
Yeah. Always.
There really are. So, how's everybody? What's happening in this short week? Is there anyone trying to be productive? I mean, I've had two pretty good productive days, but I don't know. I'm sort of wondering if I'm fighting an uphill battle here.
I don't know. I felt like people were relatively on point and productive this week. You know, everyone who is at work is doing their bit. Yeah, everyone else who was smart enough to take those 4 days off and now they have the bumper to bumper holidays off. Good for you. Enjoy your time tanning wherever you are.
Sure.
And we'll spare thoughts for you.
I've got to get my winter wardrobe out as well. That's another thing I got. I'm going to use one of these extra public holidays to do. Sort out the winter clothes, bring those out. You know, you put your blankets on your bed, that kind of thing. I love being organized. Why are you shaking your head, Pumi? I love this stuff.
This is what basically makes our life, really.
It does. These are exciting things.
You know, but interestingly enough, I wanted to get to this yesterday, but we didn't have time. I've been fascinated over the past couple of days by this same pattern that we're seeing over the past couple of months with industries changing and the conflict thereof. So this week, I don't know whether any of you have seen it. Airbnb South Africa is having to fight and stake its claim because...
Yeah, the hotel industry is going after them.
I don't understand.
And Derek Harnicom is backing the hotels, which I think is just so duplicitous. And it shows you like when big business and government get together, they just smash everyone else out of the way.
Mm. They want the Department of Tourism is saying that Airbnb should be regulated. And no, it's not that we don't want them to be in business, but
because what we need,
it sounds like a wagging of a finger.
We need more government interference in people's private lives. I go onto a website and book a place to stay for the weekend, and now I need to make sure that governments are involved in that. Oh, please.
Well, I traveled on Monday. We had a meeting in KZN in the middle of nowhere, and because of all the rain.
Yeah.
I decided at the very last minute that maybe what we should do instead of driving through in the morning, because we're just going past Newcastle,
mm-hmm.
is let's drive through because it's raining. Let's drive through on the day before, spend the night in Newcastle, and then in the morning wake up to go to the meeting.
Yeah.
And I looked for the thing at Airbnb, and I was pleasantly surprised because we actually stayed at a hotel, but you could book it on Airbnb.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, oh, these guys are with it. And that guy, the most amazing, beautiful place.
Mm.
An incredibly great rate. And I don't know if it's an Airbnb rate or if it's their everyday rate at the hotel. But it really was fantastic. And when I got there, the girls were like, oh, so which website did you book on? So obviously the GM at that restaurant, the GM at that hotel is on a couple of different sites. You know, sure. There's like booking.com.
I mean, you've got to be, right?
Yeah. I have not in the past 3 years stayed anywhere that I booked conventionally.
Me neither.
I book on Airbnb all the time.
I don't even sometimes go to the site that the hotel actually runs themselves. And apparently you should because you sometimes get slightly better rates. But I just go where it's easiest, right?
Yeah.
So you go to bookings.com or hotels.com or whatever. You find the stuff you need there. I actually was booking something last night, Pumi. So this is really – it's a very apt discussion, I suppose. And maybe for people going away for the weekend or, you know, next week or
– especially last minute kind of going away.
Yeah.
I wonder how many other people
are
booking Airbnb. I often have conversations with people like, Airbnb, and they're not sure
right.
or not aware that even locally you can do Airbnbs.
The reason why I bring it up –
why would these hotels want to interfere in people's – options, people's choices, because that's what they're really after. I wish they'd be honest about this. They're not trying to regulate Airbnb because people who run Airbnbs are ripping off everyone they meet left, right, and center, and it's a biggie.
Mm.
You know, big racket. Is it a big racket? I don't know. Obviously, there are going to be stories about Airbnbs that are from hell. Obviously, but that's the same thing happened. Could happen with a hotel.
Right.
I mean, who hasn't been to a hotel where you turned on the tap and brown water came out or...
The reason why
the
I bring it up is because I'm not understanding what they mean by regulation. So officially the Minister of Tourism says that they want to amend certain things. And by that they mean that the department will have the power to step in and specify certain, in their words, thresholds when it comes to Airbnb.
Now, can you imagine anyone worse than a bureaucratic government department telling you where you should stay and implementing thresholds? Do me a favor. Look, there are some things.
Oh.
There are some things you need government for because mm-hmm. they're the only thing big enough to tackle it, like border security, which we don't have in South Africa, like the military, which we don't have in South Africa, like the parastatals, because unfortunately that's what we've got, but they can't be run well by the government either, unfortunately. So actually the list of things that you need government for is getting slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. The one thing I do not want them interfering in is my holiday plans.
People have had horrible experiences, and I'd love to hear what the kind of horrible experiences that people have had with hotels or Airbnb.
But would your first person be Derek Harnikom?
Listen, the thing about Airbnb, the one thing that even the guys, and I listened to a podcast, the guys that came up with it,
because
you know, when he came up with it, he was crashing on someone's couch.
No, that's right. For like months.
Is sometimes there are dodgy,
yeah, right,
dodgy experiences out there, and you know it ain't a bad thing to have somebody. I'd love to hear the kind.
But must it be?
You must have gone to a hotel and arrived, and it's been a little bit just a little bit not what they said it
what
would be.
What you saw on the website.
I mean, they always do that. And they show you a room, but they show you the room that's like 3 grades above the room that you booked.
Yes.
No, but that's different because...
But then the problem with Airbnb, and let's not be right, is there is an opportunity for some shysters out there.
Right.
And then you book this Airbnb and then you arrive at the house that you're like staying in the room, because Airbnb is, you can stay in a room, you can stay in like a cottage, or you can share a room in
or
the
you can
house,
have the whole house
with the family,
right.
Or you can
that can be really dodgy, but that's the risk you take. And wouldn't you rather? No, I mean that is the risk you take. Otherwise, if you do like,
so what's the worst that could
happen? Listen, I'm more of a hotel guy than an Airbnb guy. I'll admit that right up, because I don't want to have breakfast with the family the next morning. I don't want to meet your children, and Yeah, I'm not interested. I'm really not into that stuff at all. I don't care about like local culture when I go traveling. I want to go to places.
And by local culture, they mean Danny and,
yeah. You know, I don't Danny care Miranda's about you and your porch. Fucking family, all right? That's not why I'm traveling. I don't want to meet strangers unless I choose to meet them, in which case there are places you go to meet strangers. I'm not going to your house to like become your best friend. And if that's why you're on Airbnb, then you should get off, because frankly, there are dating services and other things that you should be applying for. But here's the deal. You go to Airbnb. Let's say you have a horrible experience. Let's say it's not exactly what you wanted. Mm-hmm. So you give them a bad rating. There are places you can report these people to, tourism grading councils and things like that, which are like
government regulated. Tourism grading council.
It's not. It's like business and government. But it's little businesses, big businesses, they're representative. As far as I understand, they're representative. And when you come to things like Tourism South Africa, that's a different story, because that's clearly like part of the bureaucracy. But I would say that the very last people I'm going to go and refer to when it comes to a good or bad travel experience are the government. I'm not interested in their opinion.
So what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you?
Wow.
Where do
you go,
I start?
You go first, because I think you've got
horrors.
A story. I think you've got a story. Go on.
Somewhere up your sleeve.
What happened to you? Come on.
Guys, the world is a big and crazy place.
Uh-oh. I don't know why and how you're setting the scene, but okay.
The world is a big and crazy place. And when you're a girl coming out of the hood, right? The expectation of what the world is like out there, because we've been sold this thing that everywhere else is so much better than where we are. Everywhere in the world is so much better than where we are. Now, y'all have not lived life until you have encountered a pit toilet in the middle of rural Italy.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you.
See, this is,
first
I'm
time
done.
Ever. A squat pit toilet.
Outside?
Just, no, in a. In. Like it was a proper stop.
Is it
for
ancient?
Bathroom.
Is
no.
Is it really old, or is it this is
no,
a,
it's just because in kind of the eastern part of Europe, right, going towards far east. They, that's what people have. People don't have thrones like the kind of toilets that we have. They have that squat toilet, right? But I had never seen that.
You know, it's very healthy.
You pay a euro. So then you pay
you
a euro
pay to
up
take
front.
A, take a dump, yeah.
You pay a euro up front. And then I walk in and I am like, what's going on here?
Mm-mm.
Well, they have a lot of those in Muslim countries, right? That's a big part of it. I didn't know about Europe. I mean, obviously, there are some European countries that have a lot of Muslim population, and therefore, they're probably starting to build those as options.
But
I
this
know,
is kind of Eastern Europe. So, you know, Italy is more.
Italy's on the west.
Yeah, no, man.
Yeah.
Ukraine. It's not as central west as
it's
kind
like
of
right in the it's right in the middle the,
okay well right in the middle but we were coming from where was I coming from Krakow
oh what Poland
yeah
okay, all
coming
right.
in that direction into Italy so that's and we were still kind of in the rural parts of Italy and that's what they had
well maybe
Russia has that
but was that part of
you know
like did you book the place and then you had to use
no
this?
It wasn't a it was one of the you know kind of designated stops along the route
okay.
So it was a proper stop it wasn't a ooh, this is I need to wee kind of thing it was a proper stop where you know designated stop and I was just like okay wee station and then boom.
Oh, no.
I just got a message from someone who I know very well who says she's been traveling to Airbnbs for years all over the world. Berlin, Copenhagen, Buenos Aires, Cape Town, London. She always rents the whole apartment, never had a problem, and government should mind their own business.
Government should mind their own business. Yeah. That's how it ends all.
So the worst thing I've had is probably – look, sometimes when I was doing all that DJing for like 10 years or whatever it was, then you'd be booked to go to places and you wouldn't even book. You didn't have any – you say to people, because I'm not hugely fussy, and as long as it's a clean place and it's got like running water and electricity.
They'll give you a clean couch.
So I stayed in one real – like it wasn't even a one-star place in Cape Town once, which I won't mention, but it was just terrible. It felt like there was no effort put in at all, and it was in a pretty good neighborhood. But it was like this back of the building room that they didn't know what to do with. It was just terrible. It must have cost like 200 Rand for the night. And then there was a place in Velkom once where I stayed where this, it was just gross. It was like, they had those old mosaic apartheid era tiles in them. You know those ones?
The 70s.
Like, you know when a place has got a carpet in the bathroom? But it's old. So it's been peed on and water's overflown from the bath onto it. And it's like a bit moldy and musty. And oh, my God. But, I mean, that's in Velkom. And I don't think you have a lot of choices in Velkom. So needless to say, I don't go there anymore. But... But what are you going to do? I don't know, Velkom. Am I going to – I'm being booked for some job. I'm going to say to them, I demand a 4 or 5 star hotel. I'm not going to do that. So I just went with the flow and, no. and kind of got into bed very
you
gingerly.
You could be like, I'll just stay at a Holiday Inn.
But I don't know if they even, that. I don't know if they have one of those. Do they? In, maybe. I've never been to Velkom enough to know.
Gareth, you know one of my worst experiences because it happened a few months ago while I was in PE for work.
You told me.
Because I actually called the office complaining like, what is happening here? Yeah. And you say, oh, I'm an easy guy. No, this is when after that trip, I'm like, I deserve a rider. I need to stipulate if I am going somewhere.
Explain to Pumi and everybody else why it was so shit.
It was... It's the part of PE called Summer Strand. So
it's not a bad part of town.
Not at all. But you have the main road and on one side there's the ocean and on the other side you have the developments on the town. But in this particular hotel, they called it a hotel. I would say the stereotype of American dingy motels. That is exactly what it was. Even how it looked on the outside. Very concrete, very cold.
I can bet you everyone in PE right now is going,
I know
what it is. Because this will be the telltale sign though. It's very old carpeting. The interior is like heavy old wood as well. And I thought, okay, let me just give it the benefit of the doubt. And
I was
traveling with someone and I always have this thing. I'm like, I'm not going to check in first because I can still make a dash away if I don't check in. So I was like, you check in. We'll go and see your room. Then we'll make the call. We go to the room. Big mistake. It smelled like cigarette smoke. It was horrible.
Wow.
But this is the final straw for me. Since there's not a lot that really happens in PE, but the porter was helping us up with our bags and he says, yeah, this is an incredible place. Have you seen the views? I'm like, yeah, I've seen the ocean. And he says, do you know Alison Buerta? And I actually read about Alison Buerta's story when
Who's
I was in high
that?
School. Alison Buerta was a lady from PE who was mauled.
Oh,
like she was hijacked and she was taken to the strip of Quiet Beach and she was like raped and she was stabbed and she was left for dead. Thankfully, she survived.
Oh my God.
She wrote a book called I Have Life. It's quite interesting. But I'm like, yes, I do know who Alison is. She goes, yeah, it happened just outside. It happened just outside there. I'm like,
oh, what a thing to tell you.
Like, I'm taking my bags. I am out of here.
But she survived. It's not like there's a ghost.
Oh, yes. What a silver lining.
It's not haunted.
I thought that, no, thank you. I'll far rather stay at Danny Mariki's B&B. And we actually did. We moved to some lovely B&B.
So here are a couple of messages from people. Andrew says, Airbnb is self-regulated and the rating and review system tells you more than any government ever could. So there's a good point. I mean, when people, like, I'll take a recommendation from a friend. Over almost anything. So if a friend of mine, oh, I just thought of a horrible place. I'll tell you about it in a second. A friend of mine once booked a place in, it was somewhere on the coast. It was like we were at varsity, so we had limited budget. So they found one of their colleagues at work had a flat somewhere. Now, this is never a good place to start, but I trusted this friend of mine because he has pretty good judgment. There were about 5 of us going down. Place looked like it had enough bedrooms, blah, blah, blah. So we were like in, and it was within our budget, so we thought, cool. When we got there, there was a lift up to the floor that this apartment was on. The people on either side were cooking stuff that stank. Like, there must have been tripe or something, you know?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, there was this disgusting smell. You went into the place, and you know when the mirrors have started to decay behind the glass.
Wow.
You know, and the mirrors
and
are going
those
like
patches.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the silvering on the mirror is actually starting to deteriorate. It's usually because of sulfur and stuff like that. And the bath had these dirty marks all around it, but not the kind of marks that you would wipe off. They were ingrained. And it was grungy. It was like dirty. And we all took a look at this and we said, just like you did in your place in P, we were like, I'm out of here. But that wasn't on Airbnb. That was a friend recommendation. So you've also got to be careful with those.
Got to be careful with your friends.
Yeah. Who you listen to at this point.
We ended up having to spend money we didn't even have to find another place.
Could have been worse. Y'all could have slept in the car.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd far rather sleep in the car than somewhere dodgy and weird. But in conclusion to what the department is saying, because I'm really trying to be fair, and the reason why it's been on my mind this week is because I'm trying to understand what they're saying. And I definitely hear what you're saying, Pumi. And maybe if they had you manning their conversation, they'd be in a better position. But in all of their justifications, you know, they said thresholds. They said they want to regulate Airbnb to a point where they can limit, there can be a limit on the number of nights that a guest can stay. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
See, that's just, this is business bullying.
Or they say even how much income an Airbnb earns.
That has got nothing to do with it. If you're a hotel and you have been mercilessly plundering people at outrageous rates for the last 100 years, because that's what hotels have had. You've had this 100-year gap where it's been just you in the market. And people wouldn't know about Airbnbs until the internet came along. And if you didn't plan for that, and you haven't got any future-proofing in place, I'm so sorry, but you're out of business for the right reasons. You are no longer competitive. It's got nothing to do with Airbnb being irregular or for people having been ripped off by Airbnb. People get ripped off by hotels as well. Big time.
It just seems a bit too taxi cabs versus Uber.
Exactly.
For my liking.
It's a bunch of people who've realized the writing's on the wall. They're about to go out of business. And now they're trying to get Big Brother to step in and hold them up. That's not right. That's really not right. Just want to throw this in quickly because this is hilarious. So apparently Ed Sheeran has got to remove a big sign he had made for his private pub as a special dedication to his new wife.
Oh, I thought you were like, Ed Sheeran runs an Airbnb.
No, well, he might, but listen to this quickly. This is kind of funny. I mean, I think it's hilarious. You would expect that you could do what you want.
Ed Sheeran's Airbnb.
Sign me up.
Local authorities in Suffolk have ordered Ed Sheeran to remove a big sign he had made for his private pub as a special dedication to his new wife. The Shape of You hitmaker boasts his own drinking establishment on the grounds of his country estate, and he chose to name the bar the Lancaster Lock as a nod to his partner, Cherry Lancaster Seaborn. He had a special post erected on the outside of the pub, but planning officials have since ruled it is unauthorized signage and have requested that Ed takes it down.
There's more examples of why government shouldn't be involved in anyone's lives.
He probably does have an Airbnb at that lodge.
You could probably go and stay there. Listen, if he's got a pub, wouldn't you want to go to Ed Sheeran and his wife's pub? Sure you would. Why shouldn't he put up a sign? Dumb bureaucracies. Again, getting involved in people's lives in ways that they shouldn't. But I thought that was funny. So if you're a big Ed Sheeran fan, why don't you go and have a drink at his pub on his estate? All right, we got to get to the five things you need to know today. Do you want to know what's happening in the news?
Yeah.
All right, first of all, we talked about the Durban floods. A lot of people thinking about the people of KZN at the moment. And further down the coast at Port St. John's, the Alfred and Zod District Municipality urged residents in low-lying areas to monitor water levels and move to higher ground. You must know when the municipality says to you, move to higher ground, they're out of options. Serious flooding prompted the South African Air Force to dispatch helicopters to assist with rescue operations in Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape, which is further down the coast, obviously. The municipality's Lubabalo Majenge said that disaster teams were assessing the extent of the damage. He said in some parts of the municipality, river water was flowing over bridges. We're still warning people against crossing over unsafe areas, he said. You know, there are a lot of people who, even in Joburg during the... We had some floods, a year or two ago. They try and cross these low water bridges and they go, oh, well, it doesn't look so bad. You don't know that that water can come down.
How fast that water's running.
Ooh, and also, it looks like it's shallow, but it can very quickly double, treble, quadruple in depth. And if you're in the middle of that when it happens, you haven't got a chance. Your car's gone. Don't think just because you're driving some big tractor across there that you're going to get across safely. That stuff will wash you away.
Right.
It's a good time to go check your tires as well. Because that's, you know, how the grip on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's my public service announcement for the day.
Kwame Mashingo's public service announcement for the 25th of April.
Very good.
You're saving lives, thank you.
So, as if poor Mozambique hasn't had enough bad news, another tropical cyclone is expected to make landfall on the coast of Mozambique on Thursday. That's today, just over a month after a more powerful storm struck the Mozambique port city of Beira, further south, and killed hundreds of people. And they say that that estimate was low at the time. We're still not sure how many people died and how many people have been displaced, but it's a lot. International energy companies like ExxonMobil have been developing huge natural gas fields off the coast of northern Mozambique. Weather forecasters say Cyclone Kenneth will bring heavy rainfall, strong winds, and waves of several meters on the southern African nation.
I still need to wrap my head around how certain disasters or, you know, cyclones are named. Cyclone Kenneth.
Okay, so
there's a way.
So what they do is they go with
over to you.
You know, the alphabet. So we yeah. had Idai, that's with an I. Then there must have been a smaller storm, which they named something with a J.
With a J.
And now they would have gone K for Kenneth or Kevin. This time they chose Kenneth because they'll go with whatever name hasn't been used already.
So and eventually it alternates between men and women.
Right.
A girl's name and a boy's name.
Per- Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
And if they get to okay. S eventually, it might be Cyclone Sia.
You see, Sia seems too sweet. If I was told to evacuate, they're like, Sia's coming. I'm like, nah, Sia's fine.
Yeah, sure. They you said, think like, you're sweet. Some people would be very scared.
They said the hurricane Nospetengeshe. Getting my bags.
Then you get the hell out of there.
Everything out. See, that's intimidating.
All right. Cape Town, former Cape Town Mayor Patricia de Lille will not be getting her apology from the DA. On Wednesday, de Lille approached the Western Cape High Court on an urgent basis to force the DA to accede to an earlier Electoral Commission of South Africa ruling, instructing it to apologize to her for its election telemarketing message that it fired her as mayor. But the court refused to make a ruling on Wednesday on the case's merits and its urgency. So she wants to force them to make an apology. But a forced apology isn't really something anyone wants. If a court is making you apologize,
does it even mean anything?
But this is how astute of a politician that Antipat is.
Yes.
Because she's just sticking it to that DA.
She's needling them, yeah.
She's sticking it to that DA. And we're left out here going, why don't they apologize?
Right.
Why? It
a lot of people still don't know why she was fired.
The entire DA. Mm. But what it does is it makes the entire DA seem like a petty political party. Yeah,
correct.
And so you're like, I wonder if they're worth my vote after all. And that Antipat is an amazing politician.
Oh, she's very slick. consumer confidence in South Africa has dipped further in the first quarter of 2019, suggesting that most consumers are neither optimistic nor pessimistic about the outlook for the country's economy. So, Cyril, all of your talk about...
Read that again. It's dipped further, but it suggests that we're not pessimistic optimistic.
It hasn't gone down so much. So here's the deal. The Consumer Confidence Index, which is sponsored by First National Bank and compiled by the Bureau for Economic Research, fell to just +2 in the first quarter from +7 in the final quarter of last year.
Yeah, because everybody spends around Christmas, yo.
Sure, but you know, if people were more confident and they were willing to spend more, that would indicate that they thought that the future looked bright rather than, ooh, let's conserve, let's save, because the future looks nasty.
Gareth, January, February, Baba.
That's a good point.
January, February.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We don't have money to spend.
Spending, whether you want to or not.
Yeah, you don't have
spending.
Money to spend.
Other factors that may have contributed to the deterioration in consumer confidence include prolonged labor strikes, a fall in the rand exchange rate, sharp fuel price hikes. Those are definitely hitting people.
Overspending in December.
Absolutely. Further increases in personal income taxes announced in the February national budget. And the shock implementation of stage 4 load shedding by Eskom in February and March, which no doubt had a very detrimental effect on the economy. Therefore, it's not surprising that consumers are becoming especially concerned about our economic prospects. That's the chief economist of FNB, Mamelo Matininka Ngwenya, who had that to say. President Cyril, who's trying to revive voter confidence, has staked his reputation on reviving our mostly industrialized economy. Well, good luck. Good luck, Cyril. Good luck.
You sound like you have a lot of vigor and faith in wishing him luck.
Sure.
Yes.
And then,
Gareth's finally beginning to believe me.
It's I not am, even half asked. It's like a fifth asked.
Yeah,
Be real. Whatever.
So, okay, so here's an interesting story out of the US. Twitter users in the United States are younger, better educated, and more left-leaning than the general population, a survey showed Wednesday. Well, who's surprised by that?
I have those side eye emojis on right now.
Really? You guys had to do research to figure this out? I thought it was obvious. The Pew Research Center found that those who use the microblogging platform, Twitter, are more likely to come from higher income brackets, but that their gender or racial or ethnic makeup is largely similar to the adult population as a whole. The Pew analysis indicates 22% of American adults use Twitter. That's very small, far less than the 69% who use Facebook.
Oh, wow.
That is interesting.
That's why Twitter hasn't been making money.
That's right. Twitter users are younger, more likely to identify as Democrats, more highly educated, and have higher incomes than U.S. adults overall. Median age of a Twitter user is 40, 7 years younger than the overall population. Survey found 42% of adult Twitter users have at least a bachelor's degree, compared to 31% of the general public. Only 14% of Twitter users characterized their political views as conservative, compared with 25% of the overall population. So how's that? That's
although both, you know, the thing about research and statistics like this is it always, I always look at it very suspiciously because I'm just like, who in their right mind, when asked the question, are you conservative, actually says, yes, I'm conservative, especially a 40-year-old. Right.
And I think a lot of people are very reticent to give a researcher their political point of view. I think most people, even in this country, people don't like to say often who they're voting for.
Mm. And there's this guy at my work that often says that statistics, you know, statistics are one of two things. Either they like a G-string, what they reveal is amazing, but what they hide is what you want.
Yes.
Alternatively, you could use statistics and research like this as a lamppost, either to give you illumination to show you the way, or like a drunk person to hold you up.
What?
That's fantastic.
How deep
All right,
and
I
philosophical.
Love
it. I know.
This, love it.
This guy at my work.
That's great. All right, here's a nice message from Derek, who says...
Derek Hanekom?
No. This is Derek from LA, who listens to us, he says, every morning.
Oh, what up, LA?
So he says, thanks for the awesome show. I'm very lucky because I wake up in the morning at 6 a.m. My show's already downloaded and ready to play when I get ready for the day. By the time I get to work, I'm able to talk about any news and sport from around the globe. And when I comment on American stuff, I know more than the average person in LA. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Pumi. Thank you, Sia. I absolutely love Wednesday morning because it turns into a complete nutcase home with Gord there. Thank you for keeping us in the loop about the elections. I'm going to vote this Saturday at the Los Angeles diplomatic mission and will be breaking away from my normal DA vote.
Anti-pet.
Time is changing. Keep up the sterling platform. Love you all. Peace and love. Peace and love. Derek. P.S. Gareth, when you guys talk about books and movies and sport, etc., could you please add the links in the episode notes so that we can go back and have reference?
That's a good idea.
Maybe we can do that. All right.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you, Derek. Nice to hear from you, dude. And by the way, when you send me emails and things, I'm not always going to read the whole thing because sometimes it gets a bit long. So I'll just, you know.
Highlights package.
Yeah. Give you the
Super Sport 1 version.
Right. I actually do love the listeners who send in emails like, I know you're not going to read the whole thing, but...
Yeah, well, exactly.
They know you well enough now.
Coming up today on All About Theatre with Monte Cassino, The Unview, 9 a.m. It's been seen by over 31 million people in 490 cities across 36 countries with over 32,500 performances worldwide. And it's still the sexiest show on Broadway. What am I talking about? Chicago, of course. You could see it at Monte Cassino's Teatro, but only until this Sunday. Cast members, Brittany von Lochrenberg, Grant Towers, and Jenna Robinson-Child will be live in studio talking about their preparations before each performance. That's on The Unview at 9 a.m. And Alan always makes them do embarrassing things like sing live on the show. this up for it.
I now see what Alan's ploy is here. In
what
all of this.
What?
He makes the professional sing so that he becomes a Beyonce in the equation. He always slaps himself into a song.
He does.
He just wants to sing. He needs
an excuse. Shut him up.
Yes.
That's The Unview at 9 a.m. or get the podcast later on cliffcentral.com. It's all about theater with Monte Cassino. They've got it. So one of the things we have got this morning, I'm very excited about, is Archbishop Thabo Makgopa, who we're going to speak to about his job, which is the Electoral Code of Conduct Observer Mission. But he's also been outspoken about the elections. In fact, at his recent Easter Vigil on Saturday evening in St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, he spoke candidly about how South Africans need to be wary of political parties who want to use them to fight battles, also saying that changing individual leaders is no cure for all that is wrong with governance in South Africa today. So we'll have him on the line later in the Burning Platform to talk to us about this and get his take on the political landscape today. That's coming up in the Burning Platform, which Pumi will be here to help us with. That's after 7 o'clock this morning. Do you want to do some said by Sia, Pums?
Me? Okay. So...
No. He'll do it. Do you want to let him do it?
Me?
Pumi just... Look, she went, oh my God, I have to make something up.
Genuinely panicked.
What?
Right. We'll give Pumi 5 seconds to prepare, said by Sia. Now, Bitcoin is trading at $5,449, Ethereum at $165. Don't worry, Pumi.
And I'm totally looking forward to hearing what Sia has to say with the silver lining with the floods.
That's all you had to worry about.
I was like, what?
You don't have to do it. So, Sia, take it away.
You know, one of the things that I really admire about people who are servicemen and women is how selfless they are, and how, using the words of one of the people I'm going to quote in the story this morning, is the honor of saving a life. So the interesting thing with all of these floods that are happening in KZN is how servicemen and women are really going above and beyond their call of duty to save as many people as they can.
Sure.
So this story all came from a Facebook post that a civilian just posted, actually. Cameron Kuzwayo went onto Facebook to share a few images of the servicemen and women in his area going far beyond just to save two men who were saved in these floods. Now, interestingly as well, are the fact that these two men are actually homeless, and they had made their home just underneath a bridge, so in a little space that they found there.
Right.
So as these floods came, they actually found themselves trapped in this channel with nowhere to go. And in a matter of minutes, there were already firefighters there. There were already Durban Metro municipality authorities there as well. And also, because of the height, since these, you know, like the firefighters can't exactly reach underneath this bridge, there was a private construction company who said, look, we have equipment. Come on, we'll also help you. So this private construction company, whoever you are, who started renting, not even renting out your equipment, but offering your equipment to save these two men, is really, really incredible. So I just wanted to raise that and say kudos to all of these men and women who are being so selfless in this horrible, horrible time that parts of the country are facing. You know, the municipality of Durban has been releasing stats as the days go by, and they said on Tuesday alone, their teams responded to 28 calls. And in Potchefstroom on Tuesday, their teams responded to 31 various calls. So really is incredible what you're doing, you know. And as they said, you know, the honor of saving a life. Some people could have said, nah, homeless people, who
you
really
see,
cares, you
thing.
Move on. But no. It ends up they're the ones in jeopardy, and they deservingly need as much help as any of us.
We like to slate people that work for the government, like people who are actually in the employ of the government. We like to slate them and paint them with the same brush as, you know, corrupt politicians.
And it's easy
everybody
to do in this country.
You're like, oh, we stand in long queues, all of those kinds of things. But the reality of it is that people are out there working hard. People are out there working hard.
So I'm not going to give them a free pass. Some.
Yeah, as with everything. With everywhere.
Yeah, but the difference is in private business, you don't last very long if you shit.
No.
Not in any business that's based on productivity and on goals and on timelines, and you know that.
Were you bank queues. Bank queues.
I don't go to banks and queue anymore. When last did you do that? I haven't been inside a bank for 15 years. Why are you standing in bank queues for me?
Gareth, the point is, even in a bank, have you been on a call center waiting
line? Do you know what
call
the last,
number 1500?
Funny you bring up banks. The last time I was in a bank was when I had to go to FNB at Rand Merchant Bank to stand in the line to get my new passport because Home Affairs is so crap at what they do that the bank has taken it over for them and made it easier for us to get our passports. There's your answer.
Never.
You walked right into that.
Never.
What happened? That's the last time I was in a bank.
What it does not take away is that they are everywhere, whether it is private sector or government, there are many people doing their best, working with very limited resources.
And they will get praise.
Working with, and you know what else they get? They get the wrath of people. On the flip side of it, all they get is we walk in there with the mentality and the mindset that says these people that work for the government are lazy and
It's mostly true. They've earned that reputation. They've worked hard for that reputation.
Here, CIA has just given us an example of how hard these guys are.
He has to dig deep. We have to wait for a natural disaster for the good people to show themselves.
Dig deep. Never.
I spent my whole afternoon working for the master, finding these stories.
I'm telling you, the reason this is such a great story is because it's exceptional, not because it's the rule. If it was the rule, we would take it for granted, and people don't. In fact, we expect so little these days that we drive through any small town in South Africa, and if you don't hit 17 potholes, you're like, wow, this place has run well. That's the level. You said it yourself a while ago. People in most of the townships in this country deal with electricity outages 80% of the time. So So we're making that the new standard. Let's just accept that. And then when someone actually does what is in the basic job description, we go, oh, wow, you work so hard in government.
People are working hard.
Oh, please. I don't believe it. I do not believe it. There are buildings in Pretoria full of people doing absolutely fuck all today. Guaranteed.
Here's my second public announcement for the day. Yes. If you want to do something, if you want to help, Cliff Central's friend, Dumisole, at Country Duty.
Oh, yes.
Is putting up on
for the,
his
for the floods?
Twitter. Yeah, for the floods on his Twitter handle, collection points. So if you want to give anything, non-perishables, guys, tinned foods is what we're wanting to give. And if you can send that tin that opens like, that flips the open, one that doesn't need a tin opener,
right.
Even better.
Oh.
Yeah, bro.
What are people going to do? Use their teeth? No, it's absolutely right. Okay.
You know, 2-minute noodles, that kind of stuff.
I've got a horror story for you.
Gareth.
Is that a holiday horror story?
This is from Emma, who says she's a super fan in Cape Town. She says, I have a horrible story for you. In Bali in December last year, we booked an Airbnb. It took us 2 hours to find the place. Finally, we found it, walked in to the most horrendous smell of vomit. It seems that someone had vomited in the sink and it had not been cleaned up. We could not use the bathroom because of the stench, and we looked to the garden to take a wee. Luckily, we were only staying one night as it was close to the airport for an early morning flight. We could not wait to leave. When I contacted the owner expressing my disgust at the state of the room, he said there was a dead cat on the roof, and we'd even been given the wrong room. My girlfriend has OCD about cleanliness, like you, Gareth, so this was very traumatic for her. Reviews for this accommodation were so good. So sometimes Airbnb can be risky. Other than this, though, I've always had amazing experiences on Airbnb and will continue to use them. The possibility of hidden webcams does concern me, though, so I'll use Airbnb only for a place to sleep. No mattress dancing action. Thanks from Emma.
Yeah. Wow.
You haven't heard about those? Airbnb had to come out a couple of months ago and say that they will enforce a policy where people are not allowed to have webcams in the bedrooms and bathrooms of their Airbnb places or any place in the house without telling you.
So, yeah, how are you doing with that Netflix account for us? They gotta pay us.
For how much we speak about them. Why? What did you watch, Reason?
Voyeur.
Oh, yeah?
On Netflix.
Tell us.
About a guy
who
bought a hotel, one of those dingy motels, right, in the middle of wherever in America. And then set up in the roofs in the ceilings of the rooms.
Oh no.
Cameras. But also he had an entire layer where he could walk into that, like the attic type thing, across the entire hotel and look into any room.
You see, this is something fictional, right?
No!
What? Bye. I'm gonna cry.
Is it a true story?
Ebona. America, guys, if you think Donald Trump is the weirdest thing out of that country, think again.
That sounds awful. So what, just explain this place to me again.
Just look. Voyeur.
No. I don't want to see it. It's going to upset me.
It is a true story. His name is Gerald Foos, F-O-O-S.
All right.
And he's a motel owner from Colorado. And he spies on his guests. He carefully constructed a platform in his motel's attic. And that's when he just documents his guests' moments where they move around and they sleep. And they scratch themselves. and he does look creepy, by the way. Wait, but if you squint, he looks like Colonel Sanders.
What a creep.
That's it. Colonel Sanders with weird glasses, if you needed like a mental image of what
I will
this
not
dude
be
is
watching
like.
That show. Sorry, Pums. That sounds horrible. Horrible.
Wow. How was he caught out randomly? You're enjoying this.
Somebody wrote an article. I think it was somebody wrote a letter to a journalist of the New York Times about it. It's something of that sort. I think that's how. And then this guy just didn't actually pay much attention to it. And then years later, he found this thing. And when he was like packing out his desk because he was retiring or something, it's, dude. That's the strangest story, but I'm telling y'all about Americans.
And he was watching people doing what? Oh, never mind.
Okay. Whatever you do in your hotel rooms.
All right. You think you're alone. You're alone. honestly, 100%. I have sometimes just done a quick sweep around the room. No, just because I don't want some creepy
camera.
'Cause
you think
camera.
You'll see the camera.
Well, you should see most, right? And I mean, there are only so many places they can hide them. I know that they have these very super spy size cameras, but usually you can tell. Do you ever check when you're at someone's house?
No.
Someone's house, less likely than.
I mean, a lot of people have these cameras indoors, right? A lot of people have these internal surveillance systems, CCTV. Mm. Certainly in businesses. Have you ever noticed that one up there?
Oh, yeah. In businesses, yes.
You know, Mabale has flashed the camera outside by mistake.
I so.
By mistake? Yes. Wow. Outside?
Well, in this corridor here leading to the studio, she was wearing a strapless dress. She thought, I'm alone in the corridor. Let me fix myself. So she just like lifted her dress up, essentially exposing her boobs. And then she had to lift up her bra. And then she asked very coyly afterwards, guys, does the camera in the corridor work? We're like, yeah.
So we've never found the footage. So don't get excited because there are a lot of people who
all we need is
be
one.
Emailing me now going, we will pay.
Can we see that footage?
Yeah. We will pay so much. It's gone. All right.
All we need is one creepy intern who has a lot of time on their hands. They'll find it.
All right, we'll take your calls, your messages, your voice notes, 0797482090. It is 5 minutes to go to 7. The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's, next. Stick around for that.
This is CliffCentral.com.